If you would find in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. As you're getting there, we pray for us. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher. Speak through me your words today. For those are the words that really matter. Lord, let your words change us. Change our hearts, change our minds. Don't let us stay the same. But let us be changed by you. Don't let us stay the same, Lord. Let your presence come and let us be changed in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Ever since the very beginning, really, I guess ever since the sixth day, God's been doing one thing. One thing. And that's filling the earth with His glory. Even in Genesis 1:28, it said, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. From the very beginning, God's purpose is to fill the earth. To fill the earth with Him. You see, Adam and Eve were God's representatives. If you remember, it said that God made them in His likeness. And God wanted His likeness to fill the earth. Even as you go into the prophets, into Isaiah 11, 9. Also, it says the same thing. Says, they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. It's also repeated in Habakkuk 2:14. It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. From the very beginning, God has been doing one thing. It's been His purpose since Adam and Eve, and that's to fill the earth with Himself, His glory, His people, His way. There have been pockets and times when we see this a little bit more clearly. I've used this example before, but there's a town in Guatemala, Almolonga. And this place at one point was it was a very worldly place, very few Christians there. But there were a group of Christians that caught the vision and started to pray. Mostly the town was, it's an agricultural community, but they weren't doing very well because the people, they enjoyed drinking more than they did working. The jails were filled. The crops weren't really anything to speak of. But God. People started to pray and started to tear down strongholds, and all of a sudden the church started to rise. And as the church rose and as people started streaming into the church and giving their whole lives and hearts to Jesus, the entire town turned around to the point that jail after jail closed. Church after church was filled. And all of a sudden, the crops began pouring in. God changed an entire town, an entire community. The place was filled with His glory because people caught the vision, because the church began to pray. There's another town that I've actually visited. Reminds me a little bit of Franklin, actually, except smaller. Little town, Smithton, Missouri. You know, something that Franklin has over Smithton is, 395 is not too far away, 2 is a major artery, and it's not very far from here. You know, 32 comes right through town. Smithton, well, you had to be going to Smithton to be able to get to Smithton. Town of a little over 500 people, between 500 and 600. This church in town, they had a sanctuary about this size, maybe slightly larger. And a pastor who, well, he was at his wit's end. He was about to throw in the towel, about to give it all up. He got together with the Lord and God fell. And instead of going back to his church and resigning and saying, no, I'm going to go and do something else, God entered the building. And all of a sudden, everybody in town started streaming in, and people from all over the world started streaming into a little place called Smithton, Missouri. I don't know where people stayed. You know, I see a time that here that God can fall in this place and begin to fill. I remember talking to a person about the town and the town being revitalized and what it would take. And I know they didn't really understand me. And I said, you know what? This is it right here. You're standing in it. It's the church. When God moves on this place, you want to talk about the town changing? It's right here. Because if we all of a sudden had people streaming in from all over the country to come into a little place called Franklin, well, how many people do you think would need to eat and stop at Emily's or the Town Line Diner? If we were meeting 4 or 5 nights a week, and all of a sudden people wanted to eat something after service at 9:30 every night, you think there'd be a place that would feed us? I remember when Ruth and I first met Huntsie and Jeanette and Elizabeth, we'd go out to eat every night after service. And the only place, we were in a college town, the only place that was open was Applebee's. Boy, did we get sick of Applebee's. But we'd go out about 9:30 every night, Sunday through Thursday. Took Huntsie and Jeanette and Elizabeth out. That happened here. What do you think would happen to the town when all of a sudden people are coming in and they need to stop and get gas or they need a place to stay? God shows up. In Ephesians 4, we read, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. The purpose, look here, we'll read more in just a minute. The purpose for Jesus coming is to fill all things. That's fill every person here, to fill this church, to fill all your neighbors, to fill the town. It's the same purpose that God had from the very beginning, to fill all things. The question is how? It says, when he ascended, remember, he ascended to fill all things. Verse 8, when he ascended, he led captive a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. What are those gifts? Verse 11, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors, that is teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to have the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. How is he going to fill all things? Excuse me. He'll fill all things by the gifts that he gives. Those gifts being the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, that is teachers. A lot of people look at that list and they, and just for you theologues in here, those who like to look around and study, a lot of people see five gifts there. Actually, if you want more information, I'll be glad to show it to you in the Greek. There's four really listed. You can look at it and see, the original Greek doesn't have punctuation marks. So a lot of times they had to use syntax and grammar in order to punctuate things. So how it's, if you would, punctuated in the Greek is it's the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors. That is, teachers. And with these four gifts, God is going to use those to fill all things. We've been talking about restoring the foundations. That's the first in this series, is that the church has lost her structure and has therefore become an anarchist, a church in anarchy. And when you have a church, when you have anything without structure, when you have anything in anarchy, there's no direction for it. I was thinking about those who had served in the military, and we've had in the congregation those who have seen combat and military. I was reflecting on what exactly would happen if, no matter what size the group you're talking about, whether it's a specialized strike force to a platoon or to a whole regiment, you put them in theater in a combat zone, and all of a sudden, if there's anarchy in that group, what happens? Do you think the mission's going to be accomplished? You think if you send in the Delta Force or the SEAL team and all of a sudden everybody decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to go this way and I'm going to go that way, and do you think they're going to achieve their mission? When you look at this group, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, and teacher, two of them you don't find very much. In fact, a lot of times they've actually been shunned in the church, said that they don't exist, or even worse, they may say they don't exist, but they reject them. And you think about a body, because what Paul is saying is this is how the body is built up. You've got Jesus, who's given these gifts for the equipping of the saints. That's what it says right there in verse 12, right? For the equipping of the saints. So how well do you think the saints are equipped if only half of the body's working? If only half of your body was working, could you run a race? Could you go out and work a full day in the field? Probably even a better picture is this. Let's say your legs, your feet were working, your arms and your hands were working, but your brain wasn't. Your ears, your eyes, your mouth wasn't working at all. Because you see, the prophet is the one, he's the one who sees and hears and oftentimes speaks. When you look through the New Testament, the apostle is the one who lays out doctrine and protects and lays out direction. How well would a body work without eyes and ears, without the ability to speak or have direction and purpose? You know, Jesus is the one who said, when you receive a prophet, in the name of the prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. That reward is the ability to see and to hear, to see what God is seeing, to hear what God is saying. But if you reject a prophet, you see, you give up that ability to see and hear. Because God is merciful and gracious, but there comes a point when he'll send a prophet and send a prophet and send a prophet. And when the people reject and reject and reject, he says, okay, you don't want to see and you don't want to hear. You'll become blind and deaf and dumb. I have two good friends who are not prophetic office. And I'd love for them to be able to tell you how they feel about being in church. The churches that they've been in, the churches that have looked at their gift and have rejected it. And we wonder why Christianity in this country is crumbling. We're invalids in the kingdom because the foundation has been jerked out from underneath us. If we're going to restore the foundations, we have to understand that God has all of these gifts in place. We need to accept them and expect them. We need to watch for them and listen. We're going to go through in the next several weeks, and we're just going to look at each one of these and what role it plays in the church. What does an apostle do? What does a prophet do? What does an evangelist do? A pastor, teacher? What's their role in the church so that we can be one body? And not just one body here, but one body with the church in Windham and in Eastford. One body with churches in Norwich and in Baltic. One body with churches in Hartford, Maudville and Salem. Because if we're going to get this job done, we have to work together. And a lot of that is recognizing the foundations that we have. He gave these gifts, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What we're going to see is that the reason that he gave these gifts is for the equipping of the saints. Anyone here is a saint? Everybody's from New Orleans? The reason God gives these gifts is to equip the saints. To equip you all to do the work of service. As I was thinking about this message, I thought about Jacob. Remember, Jacob goes to Laban, and Laban has him work for 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah, and in that time, Jacob is tending Laban's flocks. And the Lord eventually shows him a plan that when he tends the flocks, when the flocks, he makes this deal with Laban that the speckled and mottled sheep are going to be his, and the ones that are not are going to be Laban's. And so when they're mating, he puts stuff in the water, so the water troughs, and then all the sheep that are born end up being what Jacob is supposed to be having for his wages. Everybody remember that story? And Jacob ends up with more and more sheep and more flocks and then herds and servants and livestock. And Jacob took care of the sheep. He knew how to care for their wounds. He knew how to make sure they had food and water. And you know what? The sheep produced a lot more sheep because God was giving Jacob Laban's flock. Jacob was a good shepherd to take care of the sheep. God did the work, and the sheep caused a lot of growth. Let me say that a different way. Sheep produce sheep. Right? Now, good shepherd will make sure that sheep has everything they need. They're going to direct them. Oh, here's the water. Here's the food. They're going to protect them, giving their lives for the sheep if necessary. Getting between the wolf and the sheep, or getting between the lion and the sheep, or going after a bear and saying, I'm going to take that sheep back. Thank you very much. Making sure the sheep have everything they need so that they'll multiply. And God will produce a huge harvest of sheep. And as that sheepfold grows, as they mature, what happens is this: everything's filled. They end up to the fullness of Christ. No longer tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, but all with one purpose, one direction, that we might fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. Which is what? Three words. To Thank you, brother. Awesome. Can you say that again? To fill all things. To fill all things. If you don't get anything else, the purpose of God is to fill all things. Let's get that in our hearts this morning. Everywhere we go. Everyone we meet, our purpose is the same. It's to fill all things with His glory. To fill all things with His glory. If you get that in your heart and your head, then our actions will follow. And we'll start sharing the gospel. We'll start giving the love of Christ out. We'll start sharing what we have with others. What has God done for you? Has He done anything for you? Come on. If He's done great things for you, share it. Because you know what? When you share that thing, and I know He's done awesome things for a lot of you. You've told me. When you begin to share those things, what's happening? You're giving God glory. His glory will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. One way that that happens is for you to share what He's done in you. Share it with others. If people want to respond, great. If they don't, you know what? You're giving God glory anyway. But I tell you what, eventually people will respond because they are going to want what you have. But our purpose is to fill all things. We'll do that by giving Him glory, by recognizing that when we start restoring the foundation, when we start believing, look, I didn't write this. Okay? This is from the master builder. These are His plans. He's the architect, not me. If it's not built in the way of the master builder, it crashes. If it is, it'll fill all things. Let's be a part of that. Let's do it together. Let's pray. Lord,